Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Wednesday night. We're midway through the week. If you guys are tracking Louisiana, I've already spoke of this several times in the devotional and on Facebook. We were hit many other places, but Louisiana was hit pretty hard with a hurricane, and a lot of people are hurting, and a lot of people are dislocated in a sense they don't have a home anymore. So keep us in your prayers. Also, if you're tracking over in California, the fires are raging over there. Keep them in your prayers. People are losing a lot of stuff there. You know, during this whole hurricane, and even just through this pandemic, but in the hurricane, you know, and losing, I guess, your commodities, you know, what we kind of take for granted, like electricity and, you know, running water, and it kind of throws everything back, you see. But within that kind of devastation, we have an opportunity also, the ones that were not affected as bad, or even if you were, to go out there and to help others. And and I was thinking being the hands and the feet of Jesus. And I was just looking at some scriptures. I really didn't jot down too many notes. We're going to look at Acts chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 2 through 9. Be kind of the, but this is more of a topic sermon in the sense that we're just going to talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, right? So if you guys bow with me, we'll pray. And we'll get into the message. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity for me to be able to speak what you have laid on my heart to speak, God. Lord, I pray don't let this message go void. Let it reach whoever that needs to hear it. Let it go, let it inspire them, let it motivate them to go out into this world, Lord, and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, as you have called all of your children to do, to reach this lost world, to show love and kindness, but stand firm on the biblical truths. Lord, this world needs a hope. This world needs a Savior. It's reaching every which way. It needs to reach to the cross. Lord, let us be your hands and feet, Lord. Let us reach those that are in need. Let us get into the trenches and get dirty. Let our hands get dirty from helping others and pulling them from this tragedies, Lord. And within that tragedy, tragedy, let us offer the hope of Jesus Christ. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Okay, tonight we'll be looking at Acts chapter 17, verse 2 through 9, if you have your Bible. And it goes like this. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scripture, openly alleging that Christ must need have suffered, risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and all the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy toward unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, gathering a company, set all the city on an uproar, assaulting the house of Jason, and sought to bring him out to the people. And when they found him, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." And when Jason had received these, all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, "There is another king, one Jesus." And they
trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they taken security of Jason and all the others, they let them go. So we have Paul, we have Silas, and we know at this time there's other disciples in play. And what I really want to draw this passage is the word upside down. You see, they were creating a problem. They were claiming a truth that they wanted. That is the Pharisees and Sadducees, and of course all that group, the Sanhedrin and some Greeks, right? And you know, you still had the pagan thing going on, and they wanted to stop Jesus from changing the way, calling them out on their falsehoods. So they crucifying him, they thought they could end it. Satan thought he won, but we know he didn't. We know he rose from the grave. And this is the gospel they were proclaiming. It was disrupting their way of life. You know, as today, it's really no difference. We still have a message to proclaim to that world. As days get darker and darker, our message has not changed. Our message is still the same. And I just thought of this passage. I'm going to flip to it. Let's see. It's 1 Corinthians 15. And of course, it's another letter from Paul to the Corinthians. And we'll start at verse 1 and read down a little bit. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, all unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all which I receive, and how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And we know, verse 5, he was seen by Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remain unto his present, but some have fallen asleep. You see, this was the gospel message. He was crucified, he rose from the grave. And you can add to that part, he's coming back again. Prepare yourself. And I want to tell you, as we look at this world and we look at the evilness of this world, I came across something today that, you know, I do a lot of studying. I do keep track. I don't know if you guys have seen this. This actually, this series or movie premieres tomorrow. It's a new kind of they don't call it a thriller or whatever you want to look at it. It's supposed to be something funny you can laugh at. It's called Unpregnant, and it's airing on HBO. It's another way to glorify abortion. I want to tell you, HBO and these other networks would not be making these movies if they weren't making money. I encourage you guys to go out there and get planned. I think it's Unplanned. This Abby Johnson movie DVD. Some people say, oh, I don't want to watch it. Maybe you should watch it. Maybe you need to get the reality of how abortion and how nasty it is. It is murder on demand. It's abortion on demand. They're making these movies because people are still watching them. If you look at Disney, Disney donates millions and millions of dollars to abortion. How many of you guys buy Disney stuff? You buy Disney stuff, you watch Disney movies, you're putting money in their pocket so they can support abortion. Therefore, by default, you are supporting abortion. Because they're giving money to them. You're giving money to a big organization that supports abortion. I want to tell you, are we turning the world upside down as Paul and Silas did? Or is the world turning us upside down? Where are the pulpits that are proclaiming this type of message? Calling the organizations, the systems out. Say, no, don't do this. We should not be giving our money to these organizations that support abortion. We need to stand and say no more. And we have a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's such a beautiful message. I say to quite a few times in this, I guess it's a podcast maybe, I don't know, or when I'm preaching at a church. Have you told somebody about Jesus today? And Facebook and media don't count. Have you looked at somebody straight in their eyes and told them about Jesus today? And that don't exempt pastors. And those that are maybe full-time in the ministry or working. The ones that may be home chilling. Have you told somebody about Jesus and Facebook don't count? Have you physically looked at somebody during this whole hurricane? Have you reached out to the community and have you went and visited people? Have you grabbed them and prayed over them and said, I'm there, what do you need? Have you done that? Has your heart burn with a passion and a desire to reach those around you in your community? And I'm not going to brag. It's all the Holy Spirit that moves within me. I work a 40-hour job plus sometimes. But I've been ministering. I've been reaching out. I ain't talking about Facebook. Especially on the weekends. Reaching out to those around and doing things. Because I believe I practice what I preach. The problem with the pulpit today, preachers are saying things. And they're saying, hey, don't look at me. Look at God, which is correct. Partially correct. But it should be God operating through them, the Holy Spirit, that you will see their fruit manifest. I guarantee you, when a man of God is walking the walk, and we can clearly see in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You hear that saying, oh, are you too spiritual for any worldly good? I want to flip that. Are you too worthy for any spiritual good? Are you okay walking in your flesh? Are you okay preaching or saying you're a Christian and living a life that is totally different? Wake up! When you have a breath in your body, you can make a change. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings and publish peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that said unto Zion, thy God reign. A message, our God reigns. He's still on the throne. And this world is cursed. And we have to live and we have to suffer within this world. We have to see these fires devastating homes and communities. We have to live through hurricanes that devastates homes and communities in our state. We have to live through all of these type of storms. We have to live through our loved ones getting older and then passing on, and the pain that comes with that, the longing, the missing of them. But if they were or is a child of God, our hearts should be happy, because one day we will see them again, and there will be no more pain, no more sorrow on this earth. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. That's part of that message, right? But we have a world in this modern day Christianity today that want to say that you can live in your sin. It's okay. If you want to be a gay Christian, God understands. Be gay. That is contrary to the gospel, we all know. People want to be saved in their sin and not away from their sin. Romans 10:15 says this, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as is written. How beautiful, once again, that phrase. How beautiful are our feet that preach the gospel of peace, bringing good tidings of good things. That's reflecting back to Isaiah. Them that preach the gospel of peace. And of course we know peace is part of that fruit of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we know that peace that goes beyond all understanding, when everything is falling apart, you know, within that storm, within that devastation that is rattling you to your ground, you know, as a child of God, you can grab on to the only thing that truly matters, is that rock, our Savior, salvation, right? And that message that we have, even in this day, and the thing is, during this devastation hurricane, I know for a fact people were watching how I respond, from work to home to the community. They were watching. He said, you claim Jesus, you walk with Jesus, how are you going to respond when everything starts to fall apart? Are you going to fall apart too? Are you going to act just like me? I am lost. I don't claim to be a Christian. You claim to be a Christian. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond to that devastation that's happening around you? Don't think, my brothers and sisters out there, I don't know how you respond. Don't think the world is not watching you. This world is Satan's world. And he has children too. And I guarantee you they're going to respond every which way that reflects selfishness. I want my. What about me? I don't care about other people. Let them be. Give me mine. I don't care if they don't have no homes. I don't care. I just want to take care of myself. We need to wake up, church. When our behavior looks just like that lost world, we're in trouble. The Lord tells us, and not my words, we are not supposed to conform to this world. But oh, how the church has. How they have conformed. That the word holy is like a four-letter word. They don't want to say. They rather walk out the streets and say the other four-letter words that keeps them happy, like self, self-love, to hate. We are not supposed to have those behaviors reflected on our way of life. Yes, we will be tempted. Yes, we will want to get fast and hurry in the flesh. But as we walk closer to Jesus, We recognize what it is. We also recognize that we are in a spiritual war. When we look around us, it's like that movie I was telling you about, I'm Pregnant. These two kids, they go off and they make a journey so they can go to a abortion clinic. So it's like 120 or 150 miles, I don't know. And during that, they're having these little kind of parties. And then they're making fun of people like me, calling me and those that truly walk with God Jesus freaks, haters, whoremongers. That's where we're at in this nation. If you open your eyes and you look at everything going around us, it breaks my heart to see the hate that is toward God. It hurts my heart even more when those that are professing Christianity, they're in the church, they act just like the world. I read a study a while back ago. I can probably find the data and put it on my website. I might try to do that. Where they did a kind of poll of, you know, of the, I'll say a population group. We would say they were a population. We'll speak a little church knees, the lost. And they posed several questions, but one question is, why would you want to go to church? And a lot of them said, why would we want to go to church? They would say, we know plenty of people that go to church. And when they look, they live just like we live. They cuss just like we cuss. They're selfish just like us. Why would we want to go to church? And then we ask, why is our church declining? We better look at ourselves. We better hit our knees and cry to Jesus. Hours. Not 5 minutes. Oh, I'm done. I'm going to live like the world the rest of the week. Oh, I did my Sunday hour. Praise Jesus. I did something for Jesus today. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it, guys. If we're going to turn this world upside down, we have to be a people of prayer. Our life should be marked by prayer. If you look at Jesus, he prayed about everything. And that was Jesus. That was the unblemished Lamb of God that take away all the sins of the world. He was unblemished and he prayed. I look at myself in the mirror. I don't like what I see. I see myself. I see that man, that old man. I know I'm new by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, but I know I have that flesh nature I have to give to God every day. I die daily. And I know for him to live is me to gain. I have to lose everything about me and put Jesus in everything in my life. Are you doing that? Are you sitting there and praying? Say, Heavenly Father, Lord, let my life look like yours. Let me walk the way you walk in your love, in your long suffering. Yes, pray for it. Long suffering brings growth and wisdom that you can reach a world. Lord, let me suffer the way you suffer, Lord. Are you praying that way? Oh, I'm scared. I don't want to pray that way. Maybe you don't need to say yourself that you're a Christian then. Oh, Lord, let my life reflect your peace,
your joy, your meekness and temperance. Let my faith look like yours. Let me walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. And you can go to Galatians 5 and read through that. Are we turning the world upside down? And one way is through prayer. Another is to be students of the Word of God. Instead of coming home after a hard day's work, maybe get you a bite to eat, a drink, and then come into your study and study your Bible. Read it like your life depends on it and others around you. And let that spread within your homes. Do Bible studies. Encourage your family around you. If you have little ones, encourage them to do studies with you. You can get children's studies. Make your home centered around Jesus. Instead of coming home and cutting the TV on and putting Disney Channel on for them as the ultimate babysitters. Or any of that filth that's on the television today. Or on the radio. To the books, the children books that are plagued with pagan stuff. From the education system that is indoctrinating our kids to believe a falsehood. We need to stand. And we need to stand firm on the biblical truths that are foundation in our Bible. Lest also don't forsake the assembly that is the building. Meaning on Sunday, be there early. Don't be late. For the Bible study, flood the church. Encourage your pastor or whoever to do more Bible studies. Do a Bible study on Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if he's like, oh, that's too much, get rid of him and put a man of God that will do that. It's really that simple. Why are we making it so complicated? If we're going to have revival, a true revival, our hearts truly have to change. Our passion, our fire for Jesus has to shine so bright that nothing around us matters other than proclaiming the gospel, the truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. Are we turning the world upside down? Or is the world turning us upside down? Love you guys. That's what the Lord has laid on my heart to preach tonight. I'll share the HBO new abortion series or movie on my website. I'll try to share the link where you can actually join in the boycott of it. We need to stand firm. There's also, if you follow my Facebook for now until they kick me out, there's several boycotts against Disney. I've been boycotting Disney for quite a few years now. People think I'm crazy. But the problem is, they're crazy not to. Especially when we're giving them money to kill our children. But then they'll say, oh, I'm against abortion. Well, you probably need to do your homework then. You might well, if you're giving abortion dollars, you might well just go vote Democrat. If you support Disney, you're pretty much supporting Democrats anyway. Because their number one platform is abortion. You can go in there and you can check it out. All this is factual. All this is true. As you guys bow with me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, just thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to come and to give your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it reaches whoever, if it's just one person, if it just reaches their ears. It sparks a fire. It rekindles a fire that's been put out. We don't have much longer. This world's getting closer and closer. People have been saying that for a while, but the times are coming back, coming fast, rapidly. We'll see. We already seen so much this year, and we're going to see a lot more worse next year. The birth pains are increasing, is increasing to a point where the labor is due. Lord, I pray that you be with our state, Louisiana, and others around, other states that have been affected by this hurricane, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, all these people that are homeless now because of the storm, that you just wrap them in your arms and you send somebody to care for them physically and spiritually. Lord, I pray, oh, the fires in California and those are hurting from it, losing things, losing their lives. Lord, I pray over them, Lord, that their comfort, and that you send people that are yours, your children, that will pick them up and give them, of course, physical assistance, but also telling them that there's a God that loves them so, and here he is. When they look at me or they look at them, let them see Jesus. Because nothing else in this world matters. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.